This episode is sponsored by Tunbridge Accountants. Are you a creative entrepreneur looking for financial support? Do you need clarity around your numbers or help with decisions related to your business finances? Do you even know what all the numbers mean? Before I worked with Tunbridge Accountants, I definitely didn't. Wendy and Lawton are not just accountants, they're your partners in navigating the complexities of business finance. They make VAT, corporation tax, cash flow management, all of this really simple, guiding you through all the decisions you need to make, whether that's a company purchase, setting up a new business, whether to register as a business. Wendy and Lawton can give you really honest, practical advice on everything. And by letting them take care of your business finances, it then frees you up to focus on what you do best, creating and selling your products. So thank you again to Tunbridge Accountants for sponsoring this podcast.
Welcome to the Bring Your Product Ideas to Life podcast. Practical advice and inspiration to help you create and sell your own physical products. Here's your host, Vicky Weinberg.
So I'm so excited today to have Alice Clover on the podcast. Alice is actually the first returning guest that I've had. Her last episode was out almost a year ago. So it was out in September. It was episode 27, if that's one you want to go back and listen to. And since I last spoke to Alice, she's actually published a second book, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. So hi, Alice. Thank you for being here again.
Hello. It's lovely to be here again.
It's lovely to have you. So for anyone who hasn't listened to your first episode, Alice, can you just give us a little introduction to yourself, please?
Okay, so I am a self-published children's writer, and my first book, Girls Love to Fart, has sold over 14,000 copies and became a bestseller last year. And I have now just released a new book called Princesses Don't Have Stinky Bums, which is all about teaching girls that they can have adventures and be capable and have their voice heard.
Thank you. And as we record this, so we're recording this in June, I think your book has been out for, it's probably less than a week as of today, isn't it, Alice? It's really recent.
Yeah,
it's
4 days. Yeah.
Wow. So how is it going so far?
It's going really well. Yeah, there's lots of interest, and I've had loads of support, loads of people resharing the posts on their social media, and it's had a really good response so far. I wanted to get it out there because it's basically written because my eldest daughter, who's 7, likes to dress up and be a princess, and one morning I called her Stinky Bum. And she said, princesses don't have stinky bums. So I thought, that's really great for a book title. And we've also crossed out the don't on the front cover so that it kind of makes more sense to whoever's buying it. And actually, she asks for it most nights for bedtime because she loves the idea of it now, and it's really helped her.
Well, thank you. And so far, I know we're only 4 days in, so it's really new, but does it feel different from when you published your first book?
Yeah, it feels different because I've learned so much since, and I've also been doing a lot more networking this time round. I've got a lot more connections who I can ask to support me with sharing it. And I self-published through Ingram Sparks, and because of the sales of the last book, I've now become a pro member, so I can contact them whenever I want, and they will always respond to me pretty much straight away and help me through the process, whereas before I was doing it blind, really, and my illustrator was having difficulty uploading the files. But now we can ask somebody else to help with that side of things in the support team. And that really helps. Fortunately, this time it's a different illustrator, and the files uploaded much more easily. But she also realized that she'd uploaded them at too high a resolution, so some of the pages weren't coming out how we liked, so we've resolved that, And it's kind of been much more straightforward this time with getting the quality that we wanted.
Okay, that's good. And who did you say you were self-publishing with? Because sorry, I missed the name.
Oh, Ingram Spark, they're called.
So what do they do? So if you're looking self-published, I had the idea that if you self-published, there was, you could do it if nobody else involved. And I'm assuming you could do it completely on your own if you wanted to. So what do they do for you? I'm just interested.
They distribute for you.
Right.
So they distribute it to every single outlet. And then it's up to the outlet to say whether they will accept it or not.
Okay. And were you working with them when you first published your first book, or has that relationship started since?
Yeah. So I was recommended to go with them by somebody else who was self-published. And so I got in contact with them and did all the... filled out all the information and everything. Sometimes it can be a little bit confusing because it's an American site, so all of the categories are American rather than UK English, so it kind of took a little while to understand exactly what it was I needed to type in to list my book. But now I know what I have to do, and to begin with it was a bit tricky because, like I said, the illustrations took a long time to upload, and we weren't satisfied with the quality, so we had to keep going back and forth. And now fortunately we've been able to upload the files properly, so the quality's as we want it. But it's turned out much better than I dreamt of, because they said to me that last year I was one of their best-selling authors.
Well, that's fantastic. And so do they manage the print on demand for you as well?
Yeah, the print on demand and the distribution. They don't market it unless sometimes if you tag them on social media, they'll repost, but that's kind of not what they're there for, because a traditional publisher would deal with all of that side of things. But I've done all of the promotion and publishing, marketing and advertising and everything for both books. So that it kind of, in that respect, it involves a lot of work.
Yeah, definitely. And I can see you've done a really good job on that, because I think you're really visible in what you're doing, and we'll definitely talk about that in a bit more detail. I'm just really curious, so with your first book doing so well, do you think there would have been an option for you to have been traditionally published this time round? And I know that's not what you wanted. I'm just curious as to whether you think that could have been an option, and also why you chose to self-publish the second time around. And I know that was your choice. It'd be just really good if you can explain that to people, because I'm not sure that everyone will perhaps understand the difference between traditional and self-published. So it might be good to touch on that.
Okay, so if you're traditionally published, you tend to have access to more places. So my book is available online. It's not in any shops. Some shops won't even consider stocking your book because you're not traditionally published. So it does limit you. But because I approached several publishers in the first place and they all rejected the book, I thought, I'm not going to do that again. If they want to publish me and they contact me and they give me a really good deal, then that would be a consideration. But I thought, it's working really well, the self-publishing route. It does take a lot of work, but I'm happy to do that. And I know that once the books are out there more and more well-known, they'll just take off on their own, because that's what's been happening. And I really believe in my heart that they are going to. So yeah, it's just worked out really well for me and my both my illustrators, because we know that the books will sell, and like I said, we can have regular contact with people at Ingram Spark so that we can get the support as and when we need it, rather than being in the dark.
And I suppose with traditional publishing, the fees or commissions are obviously a lot higher as well. So sort of financial wise, just you're not making as much. And I know that's not what it's about, but I guess that's also a consideration, isn't it?
Yeah, that's definitely a consideration, because obviously, you know, as a self-published author, I do want to be able to have an income. But yeah, the fees are high, and I don't want to, I like having the freedom. So if I didn't want to go with Ingram Sparks anymore, I could self-publish somewhere else and they would have no ties with me at all. Whereas quite often with traditional publishers, you have to agree to publish X amount of books with them. And I like this flexibility as well. And also, one of the things that I don't want is, I've put so much hard work into what I'm doing the last 3 years. I don't want a publisher turning around and taking all the glory and reaping the rewards, because I feel like I want to be recognised in my own right.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you should be. And I think as well, you mentioned that a traditional publisher, you can get you into bookshops. But I guess in the past year, so many shops have been closed. I think most people are buying their books online anyway. So it's not like, I don't know how many years ago, 20 years ago, say, where being in actual stores was probably quite a big thing for an author. Because now So many people buy their books online anyway, that's probably not so much of an advantage.
No, it's not so much of an advantage, but it is a good selling point when you walk past some of them and they've got the window displays.
Oh, that makes sense, yes.
I always think, you know, my books would look perfect in those windows because they're so colourful and the titles are so eye-catching. And I think that they definitely would fit. So who knows, one day that might be the case, that they might realise that actually self-published books have just as much validation as traditionally published books.
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember if we spoke about this last time, because obviously that was a year ago. My memory isn't the best, Alice. But I'm actually really surprised to hear that some bookstores won't put self-published books into their shops. That's actually really shocked me, because I don't think it says anything about the quality of the book necessarily. I guess that's just a misconception that they have, but I don't think, I'm actually quite surprised that that's the perception that they have.
Yeah, it might be, I don't know if it's snob factor or what, I don't know. There is a particular book near me, a bit bookshop near me, that is really popular, and it doesn't matter how successful the self-published author is, they will not stock the books.
Well, that seems such a shame. And I think the stores are probably missing out on loads of wonderful books as well because of that.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's also not moving with the times, because with the internet, obviously people have access to much more than they did before. And it works two ways, doesn't it? Because you could come up with the best book title in the world, but unless you're willing to put the effort in to promote it and continuously tell people about it, no one's going to know about it. And in fact, a friend of mine told me about another friend of hers who had written these really brilliant books, but they just expected them to sell and didn't market them or anything, and they haven't sold, even though the titles are very catchy and children would love them.
Oh, that's interesting. And yeah, we definitely, in just a minute, we are going to come on to marketing, because I think you've done such a great job of marketing your books, and I can see you're doing it continuously, and I definitely want to get sort of your tips and advice here. But one sort of final question about the publication of your second book. So have you done anything new or differently to what you did first time round? Is there anything that you learned that you've changed for the launch of this book?
Yeah, we didn't advertise it until it was ready, because I advertised Girls Love to Fart far too early, and then had to have advice from other people about getting it finished, because someone said that other people could steal the concept. I really did not want that to happen.
Oh, that's really interesting, because I know that they talk about and I talk about this to people with products as well, about talking about them before they're ready. But I guess it's getting that time scale right in that case, because I mean, I did see you talk about Princesses Have Stinky Bums before the launch, but it wasn't that far before, was it? It was weeks, I think. Is that right?
Yeah, basically when the book was finished, myself and my illustrator asked on some writing groups on Facebook for advice, and the front cover had to be changed slightly because other people on there were saying what they think would make more sense and how we could improve it. So that's what started it. We knew the book was complete so that no one else would have time to take that idea, basically, and make the changes that were needed. We did have to put the date, release date, back because we just weren't ready. So then when we were ready, she created some countdown posts and everything to fit in with the colour on the front cover, so that everything kind of had a brand for it.
And how far in advance were you doing that? Like, let's say on your social media, so sort of how far about to be telling the public about it?
Oh, is it possible to pause this?
Don't worry, what we'll do. Oh,
right. Pause? No, yeah, I'll pause. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, I did the countdown 5 days before the book was due out, and we posted on all of our social media platforms, and I've had a lot of shares on LinkedIn. People have been reposting on Facebook, and sharing in their stories on Instagram. So it's all been really well received, and so many people have been supporting the book.
That's amazing. I think that's, though, a lot of that's down to like all of the work you've done in the past couple of years, I would say, because you've been so visible and you've done such a lot to market and promote your first book, that I think it makes total sense that people are behind you now, because you've built up an audience and a following. So I think that's totally down to so what I'm trying to say is, I would say that it's not just for people listening. I don't think that's down to you doing anything perhaps different this time. It's because of all the work you've done up until this point.
Yeah. And I think because I've also been fortunate enough to support other self-published authors as well. So for example, someone has self-published a book on Amazon, and we've got a group chat and a networking thing that I'm on, and they said they had 2 5-star reviews on there already and were really happy. And so I left a 5-star review. I haven't read the book, but I know what it's about, and I've chatted to the person who's written it. So I said, oh, I've just left you a 5-star review, and it came up, and they then used that review as a promotional post. So I feel like when people are supporting each other, it then helps us all grow.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know it's been really early days, but have you seen, I'm assuming that you have, but let's ask anyway, have you seen more sales of this book in the first couple of days than you did with your first release?
Yeah, lots of people have been getting it. And also, because of the things that have been going on with Amazon, and it was Monday morning, it was fine. Then by the afternoon, it said currently unavailable. and now the listing's gone a bit odd, and I have a feeling it's because they print on demand, so they didn't have a backlog of stock and they're trying to catch up with themselves. So all being well, they should relist it, and everything should be like, because it, first of all, it was 1 to 2 month wait, and then hopefully when they've relisted, it will be next day delivery for people. So it's been, yeah, that should resolve. It's been a bit frustrating because I know that people want it, and people were messaging me saying, it says it's unavailable, when's it going to be available? And I was saying, oh, I'm trying to sort that out. Ingram Sparks were messaging Amazon to try and sort it out. And because it's self-published through them, myself and my illustrator couldn't get any information from Amazon. So I've kind of been in the dark.
That's really frustrating. And yeah, I mean, I think I've spoken about this so much on this podcast. Amazon can be really frustrating, even if you can contact them in terms of the information they provide. But yeah, how frustrating to have. So how many, that was the first day of release that happened?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well, hopefully, well, by the time people listen to this, it's going to be a few months on. And so it will be always available and hopefully back on Prime. So we will definitely link to the book in the show notes. But yeah, how frustrating. And I guess, are you finding you're getting a lot of repeat customers? So customers who bought your first book and then, you know, love that book and then coming on to buy this one?
Yeah, a lot of repeat customers and a lot of people who tell me that my work is changing. Someone said that my book changed their narrative around bodily functions overnight, and they've all become much more accepting as a family, and have been able to talk about it rather than feel embarrassed by it. And so that makes such a big difference to me, knowing that it's changing, even if it's just one person that I've managed to help with their language and understanding around natural bodily functions, and also how this impacts on girls and their well-being. And you know, if we're telling girls that what their body does is wrong, or that how they are is wrong, or how they want to behave, then that carries on throughout the whole of their life. And if I can help just, you know, like I said, just one little girl just become much more confident in herself, then that's my job done, basically.
That's amazing. And I'm absolutely convinced that you're doing that. So we talked a little bit before we started recording about the fact that you've seen an increase in sales in Girls Love to Fart since releasing your second book. Should we talk about that a little bit? Because I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, I think because people have been seeing my posts and they associate me with Girls Love to Fart, that's basically my main reputation, I suppose. I don't know, more people know me than they know me. So yeah, they've seen my posts. And then when, I guess on Amazon as well, the algorithms, it says people who looked at this book also looked at this book. And so they're looking at both books now, and that's gone up. But last June, that was when we first became bestsellers for that book. So earlier on in the year, it's been quite slow, but now it's going up again.
I think we were talking about this as well, weren't we? That if you find an author that you like, you do then tend to go and see what other books they have. So hopefully you will see an increase in sales from both of your books, just because you have two books. And so if people like one, chances are they'll go and buy the other.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I've wanted to get more books out, because I know that people will then, a fresh interest will occur. Because I felt like with Girls Love to Fart, it was a little bit stagnant, and there was only so much that I could do to advertise it and promote it. And now it's done, a lot of the time it's pretty much done its own promotion and marketing. I haven't actually had to do a huge amount.
Yeah, you know, you say that though, but I think you've done a great job of marketing. I see you marketing your books all the time, and I think you've done a fantastic job. And I'd like actually to talk a little bit about that, because you've mentioned before you don't have a marketer, you don't have any sort of team behind you. So how have you kept up sales yourself? What sort of things have you been doing?
I've been reaching out to people. There's been a couple of influencers who've shared it, and one of the influencers shared it, her partner reading to their children, and they have a fart machine, and they were all really giggling. So that helped massively. And also, I have been telling everybody about it. I did a photo shoot recently dressed as a whoopee cushion. And I was on a radio show based in Cornwall, and that was great. Just kind of people talk about it. And then people will say to me, oh, yeah, I've heard of that book. In fact, a friend of mine was on a business networking call, and it's specifically for women. And she was talking about how... because it obviously being self-employed is there's more challenges for women than there are men. And so apparently the woman who runs it said something about someone farted in an interview or something and felt really embarrassed. And then Mike said about my book, and someone else on the call said, oh, I know that friend too. And she actually does another networking call that I do. So, a lot more people are talking about it and know about it. And when I reached out to the illustrator for Princesses Don't Have Stinky Bums, she said that her friends have talked about it. And I mean, she's in her 20s. So there's kind of seems to be a lot of people at least know about it, even if they don't have a copy.
I think you've been really visible. I mean, you've been visible yourself, but I think also, so I've personally seen you in the bestseller charts quite a few times on Amazon over the past year. Do you think that does something as well for your sales? That when you get into those charts, do you see even more of a boost because you're a bit more visible?
Yeah, definitely see more of a boost. And especially when it's ranking next to other books that people buy. Like there's some books that people in shops say they will sell those books every single day without fail. And my book's been ranking next to that. I mean, on one of the charts, it was ranking next to Michelle Obama's autobiography, which is the best-selling autobiography of all time.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that must do something for your sales.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. So I would love, and we are sort of getting towards the end of my list of questions, Alice, but one thing I'd really like to know is some ideas of practical things you think other authors can do when they're promoting their books. So but I guess we'll take it into two sections. First of all, when they're launching or perhaps ready to launch a book, and then what kind of things can you do ongoing? Because I guess the longer a book's been out, perhaps the harder it is to maintain that focus and attention. So it'd be really good if you could give us some ideas of things that you've done of work that perhaps others might like to try.
Yeah, so I'd say to initially do the countdown and generate as much exposure as possible straight away. And networking's worked for me massively, but I appreciate that not everyone is comfortable networking. If you do a post and anyone comments, always reply to the comments. If you get a negative comment, don't respond. And quite often, from my experience, other people respond on my behalf. And then quite often I'll get sales then and there. So that seems to work. Negative publicity. yeah, be really truly thankful to every single person who buys the book and supports you, because if it wasn't for them, you can't get to where you want to be. Also reach out for support from people. So if you know somebody who is an expert in marketing but you can't afford to get someone to do your marketing, ask them questions and see how you can do it yourself. If you know somebody that is skilled in design and you can't afford an illustrator or whatever, get tips to see how you can do that. Or so with my illustrators, we've agreed to split profits 50-50, because I haven't been in the position to be able to pay, because the average illustrator for a children's book is around £7,000. And I would say that the majority of self-published writers are not financially in that position to do that. I haven't got the skill set to do illustrations myself. Some people do. And if you're fortunate enough to be able to do that, then maximize on those skills. And again, promote yourself continuously on social media. I'm not very comfortable with doing lives or TikTok or, you know, any of that. And I know that if I did that kind of stuff, then it would generate even more sales. But I'm just working on the skills that I have. So I'm very good at communication and talking to other authors, supporting other authors, getting a copy of their book, promoting their book, leaving reviews for other people, and just being present, really, just so that people know that if they need to contact you, reply to their messages, or if you can't reply to their message straight away, just say, I'm really sorry, I can't respond right now, but I will respond to you. Just to acknowledge.
Thank you. And you mentioned as well, you are every fantastic advice. Thank you so much for all of those tips. Those are really practical things people can start doing. You mentioned earlier about being in Facebook groups. So is that something you'd recommend, or joining Facebook groups for self-published authors?
Yes, there's a lot of writers and authors promotional sites. There's there's writing groups to give you tips. There's writers and illustrators groups. There's children's groups. There's all sorts of different types of groups. So you've got to find what works best for you. But that's where we got the feedback for the front cover, and we changed it. And I replied to every person who commented saying that we've taken on board what you've said. Did another post with the updated front cover and said, this is the changes we've made. Thank you for your advice. It's really helped. And just so that people know that actually what they're saying isn't falling on deaf ears, because that quite often feels the case in social media, I think. You feel like you're a bit invisible, and see all these other posts where people seem to have everything sorted in their life, and forget that actually a lot of work goes into that. And it quite often with people who have a book out, and say for a celebrity, for example, they will be traditionally published because their publisher will know that they'll get sales. So they have a huge team behind them working on everything that needs to be done to get the book out there. And for self-published people, that's really daunting, because you have to generally do it yourself, unless you're fortunate enough to have money to be able to delegate tasks to the people who know. So because I've been able to go to different events, like obviously I met you in person, and if it wasn't for Thrive, I wouldn't be where I am today. And other business events that I've been to in the past, I've had so much support and information from people, and I think that it makes such a difference.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for saying that. I think that sort of connections and collaborations and genuinely wanting to help people, which I see you do all the time, really does help, because I think relationships play a huge part in everything. So that's brilliant advice.
Exactly. And you've given me loads of advice. You've recommended different websites to use and different places to look for whatever it is that I need help with. And I really do want to create more products and merchandise in the future, and working towards expanding so that I can do that, because I know that people would really want to have products as well as the books.
Oh, well, thank you for saying that. I mean, like you, I come from the place where if I can help someone, I will, because I think you don't need to get anything back from it. I just think it's a nice thing to do, isn't it? To be able to help somebody else is lovely. And I do think you do get benefits from that, but of course that's not why we're doing it. But it's just nice, isn't it, to be able to feel that you've been of use to somebody.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel for me, because I have generated so much knowledge, I want to pass that on. And this week I've had somebody messaging who it has written a romance and wants to self-publish, and I've been doing a step-by-step guide to help her find it as easy as possible to reach the goal that she wants to reach, because it's very daunting, especially when you've done it for the first time. And like, for example, a lot of self-published authors don't know who their target audience are, so they can't then target people correctly. So I always say the first thing you need to do before you do anything is create the personas of your target audience and know those people inside and out. And it's recommended, I mean, you know this already, but 3 people minimum, so that you can make sure every time you do a post, every time you market or anything, you are targeting those people. And then you're far more likely to succeed in whatever it is you want to do. It doesn't matter if what business you have. If you don't know your target audience, then you're never going to get to the point where you can reach your full potential.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's great advice. Don't they say something like, if you're talking to everybody, you're talking to nobody? I think that's the quote. And I think I think that's true for anything that you're doing. You just really need to think about who it is you're talking to and who your product or book or service, whatever it is actually for. And having that person in mind definitely helps. And I do really appreciate how much you want to help other authors as well. I think that's fantastic that you're willing to share your time and your knowledge with other people. And with that in mind, I've got one final question for you, which is, what would your key advice be for other people, other self-published authors, or perhaps people who just even if they have in the back of their minds, they might want to self-publish at some point in the future? What things would you like them to know?
Just do research into how they would like to self-publish, because there's so many different options. I mean, you can self-publish just through Amazon alone, and that helps people who have absolutely no way of paying for any publishing, because with the publisher that I went through, you have to pay an initial fee, but with Amazon's KDP, you publish through them and they provide you with a ISBN number, but it means that you literally cannot sell anywhere else. And the beauty of self-publishing through other platforms is that if you are trying to promote your book, not everybody likes Amazon, so you have the opportunity to advertise your book and say, yes, it is on Amazon, but it's also available at these other independent bookshops, and they really need your support as well. So don't feel like you have to just buy it off Amazon. But yeah, it just depends on everyone's, what funds they have, what they feel would be the best selling platform for them, and how much time and effort they want to put in, basically.
Yeah, that makes sense. Thank you. And I actually had no idea that if you published solely on Amazon, that was the only place you could sell. I'm assuming that if you wanted to, you could go down the route of buying an ISBN for yourself, yep, if you wanted to do it that way and have a few more options. So yeah, it definitely sounds like some research is needed into what works best for you. Because yeah, just that small thing you've just told me, that if you go on Amazon, you can't then sell that book anywhere else, I think would be a game changer for some people. Because as you say, not everyone wants to just have their book on Amazon.
Yeah, and I've known self-published authors who have desperately tried to self-publish in other ways. I know someone who did a Kickstarter and the Kickstarter wasn't successful and they wanted to get their book out, and the only option for them was to self-publish through KDP. And that probably means that, like, for their own ethics, it's not something they wanted to do, and also they've limited their audience. I also know somebody else who's traditionally published and their book's really brilliant, and the publishers will not stock on Amazon. They do advertising campaigns so that they can get their books out, but that's their ethos, is to not do that. In this case, the author's sales have not been as much as they could have been. But then a lot of people I know have turned away from giants like Amazon because they want to keep independent bookshops alive and support them.
Absolutely. I mean, we spoke about how in the past, you know, year, most people have been buying books online. But then on the other hand, now bookshops are opening, I think more people are going back to supporting what's on their high street. So I think you're absolutely right. Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for all that you shared today, Alice. I appreciate it so much. It's great to have you back. It's great to hear that you have a second book and that your first book is still doing well. Hopefully that's given a lot of confidence to other self-published authors that this can be something that you can do and continue to do as well. I think it's really interesting the impact on launching a second book has had on your first book. And the fact that I think, if you know, a couple of years on, your first book is still doing really well, I think is amazing, and a testament to also you and all the hard work you put in. Because as I say, I see you everywhere. You're very visible and you work very hard at promoting it.
Yeah, and that's the thing, isn't it? Being self-employed is not 9 till 5. It is literally all the time. Yeah. So that's, I think that's what people kind of don't really appreciate. Because yes, you can take time off and say, like, if you wanted to go and have a coffee in a cafe or something, you can go and do things like that. But then when you come back, you have to really crack on with whatever it is that you need to do. And quite, like last night, I was sending emails to a few people who are influencers that my husband found. And this was like 11 o'clock last night. And I said to him, oh, you're giving me more work to do now. And it's just when he was looking for my book, these people came up. And I thought, right, I've got to contact them straight away, because otherwise either I'll forget or there just won't be an opportunity. So, yeah, it is definitely something that you have to be prepared to put time into. And I absolutely love what I do. And it gives me a lot of freedoms, but I just know to get the books to the to where I want them to be, this additional hard work at the beginning is absolutely necessary.
Yeah, and it definitely looks like it pays off as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, well, thank you again so much, Alice. I've really enjoyed talking to you for a second time. And perhaps if and when you launch a third book, you can come back and talk about that.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully September is the next one.
Oh, that's very soon. Yeah, really soon. We're in June now. Wow. Okay. So yeah, well, we're going to finish off today, and then I might have to stay on the line and pick your brains about that for a little bit. So thank you again. Thank you so much, Alice.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
As always, I really hope you enjoyed this conversation with Alice, and I would love to know what you think. So do please get in touch and let me know. It's vicky@vickyweinberg.com, and I genuinely always love to hear from you. Please do follow this podcast so you get all new episodes as soon as they arrive every Friday morning. Well, take care and have a lovely week. Hi, this is just a little note. Say if you've enjoyed this episode, or indeed any of the episodes, and you would like to, I don't know, buy me a coffee or something, you can actually now leave tips. So there's a link to how to do this in the show note. Of course, do not feel obliged to do this. This is a free podcast. This will always be a free podcast. But as I say, if you want to buy me a coffee, you can do that via the link in the show notes.